When my mother passed away, I inherited the house. It wasn't big, just a simple one-story home on the edge of town. I had lived there my whole life. But after she was gone, the place felt wrong. Every creak in the wood, every gust of wind rattling on the windows, it all seemed louder, more intrusive. I spent the first few nights alone, but sleep never came easily. The house was too empty, too silent. Yet at the same time, it felt like I was never truly alone. I couldn't shake the feeling that something was different, that something was waiting for me in the dark corners of my own home. After a week of this, I packed a bag and went to stay with my aunt and uncle. I told them it was just to clear my head, but the truth was, I didn't want to be there anymore, not alone. Every night, I imagined something lurking just outside my bedroom door, standing in the hallway, breathing softly in the quiet. The thought of being in that house for another night made my skin crawl. Days turned into weeks, and eventually, I knew I had to go back. It was my house now, after all, and I had nowhere else to go. I couldn't run from it forever. The first thing I noticed when I stepped inside was the air, still but heavy. The kind of feeling that you get when someone has been in a room for too long without opening a window, but no one had been there. I had locked the doors before leaving. There was dust on the furniture, but the air felt disturbed, as if someone had been walking through the house while I was gone. I walked from room to room, checking every door and window. Everything was locked, just as I had left it, but the knees in my gut refused to fade. That first night back, I barely slept. The floor creaked outside my room, even though I was the only one there. I turned on the lights, checking every corner, every closet, nothing. But when I turned the lights off, the sound came again. Slow, deliberate steps just outside my bedroom door. My pulse pounded in my ears as I held my breath, waiting silently, my mind raised trying to make sense of the situation. But deep down, I knew someone was there. Then came the sound of breathing, deep, slow breath. Not mine. I gripped my blankets tightly, every muscle in my body frozen. It wasn't coming from outside. It was inside the room. I shot up and turned on the light, my heart slamming against my ribs. The room was empty. The door was still closed. But the feeling lingered, that awful sense that I wasn't alone. I stayed awake the rest of the night, my body rigid, listening for any more sounds. Dawn couldn't come fast enough. The next morning, I bought cameras and installed them around the house. If something was in here, I needed proof. I set them up, in the hallways, the living room, even outside. Anything to catch whatever was moving around that night. I tried to convince myself that it was just my imagination, that grief was messing with my head. But deep down, I knew better. Something was wrong with the house. The second night, I heard soft footsteps in the hallway. The cameras were already recording, so I didn't get up. I just stared at the door, waiting for it to open. It never did. I forced myself to stay in bed, clutching my phone like a lifeline. The hours dragged on, the silence stretching unbearably long. Every sound, every creak sent my pulse racing. I wanted to run, to leave, but something kept me frozen in place. When I checked the footage the next morning, I felt sick. The hallway camera caught it. Movement, a figure at the far end of the hall, standing, watching my door. My stomach twisted as I rewinded the footage again and again, trying to make sense of it. The figure didn't move. It just stood there, perfectly still, for hours. Then, just before sunrise, it turned and then walked away. I didn't sleep after that. The next night, I left every light on. If something was in here, I wanted to see it. The fear was suffocating, clawing at my chest. I laid in bed, my body tense, waiting. At some point, exhaustion took over, and I drifted off. But it wasn't restful. My sleep was fractured, plagued by nightmares of dark figures standing over my bed. When I woke up, my bedroom door was open. I never left it open. My breath caught in my throat, so I sat up, scanning the room. My hands trembled as I reached for my phone, desperate to check the cameras. What I saw made my blood turn to ice. The figure was closer this time, standing just outside the door. I could see her face now, a woman, pale, gaunt, her eyes wide and unblinking. She wasn't a ghost. She was real. She had been inside my house, watching me while I slept. I couldn't breathe. My mind screamed at me to run, to get out, but I couldn't move. My body felt like lead, paralyzed by terror. She had been here, right outside my door, watching. I locked myself in my room and I grabbed my phone to call the police, but it wasn't there. My stomach twisted. I had left it charging in the living room. My entire body went cold as I realized what that meant. I had to go out there. I had to leave the safety of my room. I sat there for hours, listening for any sound. Nothing. I told myself she was gone. She had to be gone. The house was silent. But silence had never felt so threatening before. Finally, I made a run for it. The moment I stepped into the hallway, she was there. A woman. Pale. Wild-eyed. Holding a knife. She lunged. I barely dodged, falling into the ground as she swung at me, the knife scraping against the wooden floor. I kicked her legs, trying to crawl backwards, but she was fast, too fast. Her grip was like iron. She forced herself on top of me, the knife inches away from my throat. Then she bit me. Her teeth sank into my cheek, tearing flesh. I screamed. The pain felt like fire, like my face was being peeled away. She didn't just bite, she ripped. Chewed. I could hear the wet, grotesque sound of it. With every ounce of strength, I shoved her off me. She stumbled back, her mouth red with my blood. Her eyes darted around like she was deciding whether to finish the job or not. Then, without a word, she turned and ran out the door into the night. I collapsed, gasping, my face burning, my hands shaking. I had survived, but barely. She was gone. But she had been watching me for days. The police never found her. They said she must have been squatting in my house while I was gone. That she had slipped in when I left to stay with my relatives. That she had been watching me all along, waiting. I sold the house, moved to another city. But I still don't sleep well. Sometimes, I wake up in the middle of the night, heart pounding. I feel eyes on me, watching, waiting. I never see anything, but I know she's still out there.
When we moved into the house, I didn't think much of it. It was an old place, nothing special, but big enough for our family. My husband, Matt, and our two kids, Oliver and Jake, were excited. We were finally settling into a home of our own. At first, everything was normal. The usual unpacking, setting up furniture, and dealing with minor inconveniences like a leaky faucet or a creaky floorboard. Nothing unusual. Nothing that should have warned us about what was coming. Then, small things started happening. Lights flickering, doors creaking open by themselves, objects moving just slightly out of place. But it was an old house, right? It had its quirks. We brushed it off, laughing at how it felt like living in a haunted mansion. But looking back, I should have paid more attention. I should have listened to the signs. I should have known we were not alone. One evening, we bought a life-size Elmo balloon for Oliver's birthday. He was obsessed with Sesame Street, and it made him so happy. We brought it home after the party, still floating high, its red plastic body bouncing gently in the air. Matt had to take the kids to their cousin's house for a sleepover, so I stayed home alone. Just me and that stupid balloon, drifting lazily in the living room. The silence of the house felt heavier than usual, but I ignored it. I had things to do. Then I noticed something strange. I walked to the kitchen, and when I turned back, the balloon wasn't where I left it. It had moved. At first, I thought maybe there was a draft, but the windows were shut and there was no fan on. My stomach tightened. Something felt off, but I didn't panic. Not yet. I kept watching my hands gripping the counter, heart pounding just a little faster than before. To test it, I walked to the other side of the room. The balloon followed. I stopped. It stopped. I stepped backward. The balloon drifted toward me. A slow, unnatural movement. No swaying, no hesitation. It wasn't floating randomly. It was following me. My breathing became shallow as I felt a wave of cold sweat break out on my skin. This wasn't normal. I grabbed my phone and started recording. My breath was uneven as I took a few more steps. The balloon followed again. No strings being pulled, no air current to push it. Just silent, deliberate movement. The longer I watched, the more unnatural it felt. Like something unseen was guiding it, controlling it with purpose. I wanted to turn away, to pretend I hadn't seen anything. But I couldn't move. I laughed nervously, trying to convince myself it was nothing. But deep inside, something ugly twisted in my gut. I knew this wasn't right. I had to get rid of it. Before I could think twice, I reached out. The second my fingers were inches away, it popped. The sound exploded through the house like a gunshot. My ears rang. Shreds of red plastic rained onto the floor. My heart pounded against my ribs. I exhaled shakily, trying to calm myself. Maybe the pressure had built up inside it. Maybe the material was weak. But then, I felt it. A tug at the back of my head. My ponytail lifted into the air, like invisible fingers grabbing hold. Before I could react, I was yanked backward. I hit the floor hard, my head bouncing off the wood. Pain shot through my skull. I gasped, scrambling to get up, but something I couldn't see dragged me across the floor. My nails clawed at the wood, trying to stop it, but my body was sliding fast, heading toward the staircase. I twisted and thrashed, but it was useless. My body hit the steps with full force, tumbling down, each impact sending sharp jolts of pain through my ribs, my spine, my skull. I landed in a heap at the bottom, gasping for air. My arms trembled as I tried to push myself up, but something grabbed me again. This time it threw me against the wall. A sickening crack echoed through the house. My back screamed in agony. I couldn't even process what was happening before the lights went out. The darkness swallowed me whole. My hands shook as I felt around, trying to get up. A deep silence filled the house. Then, movement. Furniture scraping against the floor, shifting violently. I couldn't see anything, but I could hear it. The living room being torn apart. A chair toppled over, a table smashed against the wall. And then, directly in front of me, the air changed. A disturbance, like a ripple in reality itself. My breath was caught in my throat. My body refused to move. Something was there, and it was watching me. Then it grabbed my throat, a crushing force squeezing, suffocating. My hands clawed at nothing, trying to pry away something that wasn't there. My legs kicked uselessly against the floor. The pressure tightened. I was going to die. Spots danced in my vision. My lungs burned. My body weakened. Darkness crept in at the edges of my mind. I felt my body shutting down. Then, I woke up. I was on the couch, drenched in sweat. My heart pounded so hard I thought it would break my ribs. My throat was raw, like I had been screaming. Matt was in the kitchen cooking. The house was quiet, peaceful. The Elmo balloon was still there, floating in the corner, untouched. But I couldn't shake the feeling that something was still wrong, that something was still watching me, even now. I broke down. My whole body shook as I sobbed into my hands. Matt rushed over, confused, asking what was wrong. I told him everything. The balloon, the attack, the nightmare. He looked at me with concern, but I could tell he didn't believe me. "It was just a bad dream," he said. "I was just stressed." I wanted to believe him. I almost did. Then I picked up my phone. There was a video, a recording I didn't remember taking. I pressed play. The screen showed the Elmo balloon, drifting, moving, following me. I stopped breathing. My hands turned ice cold. Slowly, I lifted my eyes from the screen and looked toward the corner. The balloon was still there. But this time, it wasn't just floating. It was staring right at me.
I worked the night shift at Blockbuster. Not the best job, but it paid the bills. The store was massive, with rows upon rows of DVDs and VHS tapes. Most nights were quiet, just me, the flickering fluorescent lights, and the occasional late-night customer. It was boring, predictable. Nothing ever happened. That night was like any other. My shift ended at 3 a.m., but I stayed a bit longer to organize some shelves. The silence was absolute. No wind, no movement, just the low hum of electricity. I was alone. Or at least, I thought I was. I was stacking DVDs in the horror section when I saw something in the corner of my eye. A case slipped off the shelf and hit the floor. That shouldn't have been possible. The DVD had been firmly placed, and there was no draft, no vibration, nothing that could have knocked it over. The sound of plastic hitting the tile floor echoed through the empty store, making my skin crawl. I froze, my body tensing up as I stared at the fallen case. The air felt different now, charged with something I couldn't explain. My fingers twitched as I bent down, picking up the case with slow, deliberate movements. It was an old horror movie, one I had seen 100 times on the shelves. My breathing was uneven. Maybe I imagined it falling. Maybe I was tired. I placed it back and forced myself to take a deep breath, but my hands wouldn't stop shaking. I needed to check the security cameras. If I saw the DVD fall on its own, then I'd know I wasn't losing my mind. The security room was down a long, narrow hallway at the back of the store. As I walked towards it, I saw something up ahead. A man stood in the hallway, his back facing me. At first, I thought it was another employee. Maybe someone left something behind, but I was the only one on duty that night. No one else should be here. My stomach tightened, and a strange pressure built in my chest as I took a step forward. My voice came out quieter than I intended. "Hey, man, what are you doing here?" No response. He didn't move. He just stood there, completely still, like a statue. His posture was wrong, stiff, and unnatural, like his joints had locked in place. I swallowed hard and took another step, my pulse hammering in my ears. Then the lights cut out. A fraction of a second later, they flickered back on. He was gone. I spun around, my breath caught in my throat. There was no way he could have moved that fast. My hands clenched into fists, fingers digging into my palms as panic started to seep in. My brain struggled to rationalize what just happened. Maybe the lights glitched and I missed him walking away? Maybe my eyes were playing tricks on me? And then the lights cut out again. This time when they flickered back on, he was standing right in front of me. His face was inches from mine. His skin was sickly white, his features warped as if they had been burned and left to melt. His eyes were black pits, hollow and endless, and his mouth, if it could even be called that, was stretched into a grotesque grin. I barely managed to hold in a scream as I stumbled backward, my legs shaking so badly I thought I would collapse. I turned and ran. My heartbeat pounded in my ears, drowning out every other sound. I could hear something behind me, a slow, deliberate, dragging sound, like he was taking his time. The air felt suffocating, thick with something unseen but undeniably present. My legs felt sluggish as if I was running through water, but I forced myself forward. The exit. I needed to reach the exit. If I could just get outside... The sound of DVDs crashing to the floor erupted behind me, like something was tearing the shelves apart. My breath hitched as I risked a glance over my shoulder. He was still there, standing at the end of the aisle, but he wasn't moving. His body twitched in small, jerky motions, like something was forcing him to stay in place. But his face, his awful, distorted face, was still turned toward me, watching. I reached the glass doors and grabbed my keys from my pocket. My hands shook so badly I couldn't find the right one. My fingers slipped over the metal, fumbling uselessly. I tried again, but my grip was too unsteady. The keys rattled in my hands, and then the lights went out again. Darkness swallowed the store. I couldn't see, but I could hear. Shelves rattled, DVDs clattered to the floor, and footsteps. Slow, steady footsteps moving towards me. My breath came in quick, uneven gasps as I tried to jam the key into the lock. The cold metal slipped from my fingers and I cursed under my breath. A sound just behind me. A low, distorted whisper, too garbled to understand. My entire body seized up as cold air brushed against the back of my neck. He was right there. I found the key. My hand jammed it into the lock, twisting with all my strength. The door wouldn't budge. Panic clawed at my throat. The lights flickered back on for just a second, just long enough for me to see him, inches away. His black, rotting eyes locked onto mine, and his mouth stretched wider as if he was about to... I threw my entire weight against the door. It burst open and I stumbled outside. I didn't stop running. I ran until my lungs burned, until my legs threatened to give out. As I looked back, I saw them. Two glowing eyes watching me from inside the store. The next morning, I returned to the store. I wasn't alone this time. My boss was there, arms crossed, already annoyed. He thought I was crazy. Maybe I was, but I needed proof. I needed to know I wasn't imagining things. I led him to the security room. I pulled up the footage, my hands trembling. The cameras had recorded something. The power outage had caused static, but there were glimpses. The DVD falling. The hallway. The lights cutting out. But when they turned back on, the hallway was empty. No man. No figure. No glowing eyes. "Are you messing with me?" My boss scoffed. "There's nothing here." I stared at the screen, my blood running cold. He was right. The thing I saw wasn't on the tape. It was like I had never... been there. I never went back. I don't know what I saw that night. Maybe I don't want to know. But sometimes when I pass by the empty store, I swear I still see them. Two glowing eyes watching me from the dark. And I know deep down that whatever was in there never left.